Well, we are delighted to have each one of you here this morning. Of course, we miss all of those that are not able to be with us, but we are glad that you are here, and thank God for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we feel in the house of the Lord this morning. Appreciate each one of you. God is so good, is he not? Amen. All the time, says said back there. That is the truth. So I want you, if you have your Bible, however you access it, if it's on your tablet or your phone or you carry the word with you, turn with me to a very, very well-worn passage of Scripture. And we're going to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with the first verse. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. The title of my message this morning is, Hello, My Name is Pride. Hello, My Name is Pride. Paul is writing to Timothy here in our text, and he says to him, and he's assuring him, giving him understanding of what is ahead. He says, know this also, you must understand this. You need to grasp this. Know this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And then he tells us why he believes perilous times are coming and what they're going to be like. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. And that word literally means it lacking a moderation or lacking self-control. He said they're going to be fierce and despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And he says in that latter end of that fifth verse, from such turn away. And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. Ask that you bow your heads and let us pray and ask the Lord for his help in ministering the word today. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your many, many blessings in our lives. We're thankful that we have an opportunity this morning together in the house of the Lord. We are grateful this morning for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed and that we have felt here in our midst. We come to the reading of your word, and Father, I would ask you to anoint me to speak as an instrument in your hand. In my own self, of my own self, in my own ability, I can do nothing. But Lord, if you will touch me and if you will bless me to be a blessing and if you will put your words in my mind and your words in my mouth and let them come forth under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then your church will be edified and people will be challenged to the point of change. I ask right now that everything that goes forward, everything that's said and everything that's done, that you would bless the name of the Lord today. That you would exalt him and that you would lift him up. And Father, we will give you the praise and we will fail not to give you the glory. And we ask it in the mighty and glorious name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. Hello, my name is Pride. As we begin this morning, no doubt that at some point in your life, some point in your Christian experience, whether you were attending church or just reading the word, No doubt you have read the scriptures that are in front of us, the scriptures that are our text. The Apostle Paul writes to his protege, and he not only warns Timothy that there are perilous times to come, but he also describes for him those perilous and grievous and troublesome times. It is here in our text that Paul begins to clearly outline the attitudes and the characteristics of many who will find themselves living in the last days. How many of you here this morning believe with all of your heart that we are living in the last days? Paul clearly defines and he clearly outlines the predominant attitudes and the predominant character that's going to be the persuasive view of those that are living in the last days. I read to you the text in the King James. I want to read it to you this morning in the God's Word translation as well. And just as I read this in the God's Word translation, just see if it does not line up with where we are today. The God's Word translation says, "You must understand that in the last days there will be violent periods of time." You think we are experiencing violent period of time? "People will be selfish and love money." He said they will brag, they will be arrogant and full of pride and use abusive language. They will curse their parents and show no gratitude and have no respect for what is holy. They will lack normal affection for their families. They will refuse to make peace with anyone. Do you think that that's describing the day that we live in? He said they will refuse to make peace with anyone. They will be slanderous. They will lack self-control, and they will be brutal, and they will have no love for what is good. The Bible said that there would come a day when they would call good evil and evil good, and we have arrived at that time. He goes on to say they will be traitors, and they will be reckless and conceited. They will love pleasure more than they love God. They will appear to have a godly life, but they will not allow the Spirit of God or the power of God to change them. Stay away from such people. This morning, as we read through that litany of things that Paul describes, I could choose a number of things for me to preach on. Hello? He said they're going to be heady and high-minded and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and they're going to be unthankful and unholy. There's a whole lot of things in there this morning that I could speak on, but there, in that one little verse, that chapter 3, verse 2, there is one little word that Paul says they are going to be arrogant and they are going to be filled with pride. This morning, in the midst of all of those things, there are so many things that the Holy Spirit could have led me to minister on. We live in a world where the vast majority of people in our world today, they are lovers of themselves, and they are selfish, and they put number one first. The vast majority of people in our world today are covetous. Even when they have plenty, they have hungry eyes, and they are never satisfied with what they have, and their heart covets more and more. The vast majority of people in our world today are heady and high-minded and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And they are much too busy with the pleasures of this life and the pleasures of the flesh, amen, instead of working out a relationship with God. We live in a time where people are unthankful and unholy, and they feel entitled. Hello? And they want to live unrestricted and unrestrained and without any responsibility. So there is a whole lot that we could speak about this morning. But there in that one little verse, verse 2, he talks about pride. So in the context of things this morning, let me just kind of give you some context for verse 1 through verse 5. The first thing, I want to just show you two things and then we'll move on. But the first thing that I want you to understand about the context of the message, and the first thing that I want you to notice that Paul speaks of, is found there in verse number 5. The first thing that he says. He says in the God's Word translation, they will appear to have a godly life, but they will not let its power change them. The King James says they will have a form of godliness. They will appear to have a godly life. They will have a similitude of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Paul is saying in that fifth verse, as he describes all of these things, he is saying in that fifth verse that those that are going to be doing these things are going to appear to have a godly life, but they will refuse to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to literally give them a change in their heart. Paul is saying that they will have a form of godliness. They will go through the motions of religious activity. They will attend church. They will sing and they will worship. They'll give in the offering and they'll say amen at the appropriate place. And they'll have all of the outward expressions of true relationship with God. But they will not allow the power of God to change their heart. He's telling us that there will be those in the last days that attend the church, who are heady and high-minded and proud and boasters and blasphemers and all of those things that he described. He said, they're going to have a form of godliness, but they will not allow the Word of God to change their life. How do you know, Pastor Gary, that he's talking about those within the church? Here's how I know, because the world does not have a form of godliness. The world has no similitude of godliness. When I was a sinner, I was a sinner. And I was a good one. And I didn't care. Hello? I had no similitude. I had no form of godliness in my life. My grandmother would have said, that little hellion. And I was. Amen, but she kept praying for me, and God got a hold of me. But when I was in the world, I had no form of godliness. I had no similitude of God in my life. So understand that as we consider this text, understand that Paul is not talking about the condition of those who are in the world or those who are non-believers. He's talking about the condition of the believer's heart. He's talking about those that attend the house of God. The second thing that I would like for you to understand, amen, when Paul speaks in this, he speaks about one little word that's tucked away there in that second verse. In all of the litany of things that the Holy Spirit could have led me to preach upon this Sunday, the Lord brought me to that one little word, pride. He says, men will be proud. Men will be proud. The last days will be marked by an attitude of arrogance. Men will be filled with pride. They will be full of arrogance. They will have an attitude of self-sufficiency. Hello? When you put those two things into context, Paul was saying that there are going to be those within the church whose life and whose heart is filled with pride. He's saying that there are going to be those that attend the house of God that have pride in their heart. They will have a form of godliness, but they will not allow the power of God to change their heart. And because they do not allow the Spirit of the living God to make a change in their heart, they will be filled with pride and they will be filled with an arrogant spirit. So understand that we, this morning, we fit at least part of that category. We are believers. We are living in the last days. We attend the house of God. How is our heart this morning? So he's talking to folks just like you and me, and the question is, are we allowing pride to be manifest in our life? When the Lord began to speak to me about this message, about a million different scriptures came to my mind concerning pride. Because the Bible is certainly not silent on the subject. If you want to turn there this morning, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Look at verse number 16. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16 through verse number 19 says these words. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. So understand that the writer is fixing to tell us that there are six things or seven things that are abomination in the sight of God. He's about to tell us some of the dislikes that God has. And at the very top of the list, verse 17, he says that this is an abomination unto him, a proud look, a proud look, a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood and a heart that devises wicked imaginations and feet that be swift to run to mischief and a false witness that speaks lies and he that sows discord among the brethren. But I want you to notice of those seven things that God says I hate and that are an abomination in my sight, right at the very top of the list is pride. Right at the very top of God's list is a proud look, a prideful heart. Let me just share with you this morning a few other scriptures that talk about pride. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 5. This is what the Bible said, everyone that is proud in heart. Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination unto the Lord. Proverbs 21 and verse number 4 said, a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked, it's all the same to God. He says, it is sin. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 13 said, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, but pride and arrogancy and the evil way and a forward mouth do I hate. That word hate means he despises it. He warns us over and over again about allowing pride within our heart. He warns us over and over again that pride within our heart will separate us from his presence. The Bible also teaches that pride in our life is like a ticking time bomb. And at some point in time, it's going to go off. Let me say that again. Pride in our life is like a ticking time bomb. Amen. It's only a matter of time before it blows up. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 2. This is what the Bible says about pride in our life. It says, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 16 and 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. So what God is saying is, like, pride in your spirit is a ticking time bomb. When pride, amen, gets rested in your spirit, shame is on the way. When pride gets down in your heart, destruction is on the way. Amen. The Message translation says, first pride, then the crash. And the bigger the ego, the harder the fall. And I love that one. First pride, then the crash, and the bigger the ego, the harder the fall. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 23 said, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. James chapter 4 and verse number 6. Somebody said, well, all of those verses are over in the Old Testament. Well, great. Hop over in the new one for a minute. James chapter 4 and verse 6 said, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. 1 Peter 5 and 5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Amen. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Over and over again, God's word warns us, amen, about the danger of allowing pride to take root in our heart. Over and over, he tells us that pride will bring shame. Pride will bring destruction. Pride will bring a catastrophic fall. Pride will injure your relationship with Christ. A proud look God despises. It's an abomination unto him. Over and over he tells us, do not allow pride to get hold of your heart. You'll be asking yourself this morning, why is pride so dangerous? The original sin of Lucifer was pride. The original sin of Lucifer was pride. When God created Lucifer in the beginning, he's a created being. When God created Lucifer in the beginning, he was an angel of light. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. He was God's right-hand man. He was in the very presence of God. But what happened? The Bible describes what happened. The Bible describes it in Isaiah 14, verse 11 through verse number 15. This is what God says about Lucifer. Your pomp and your pride has brought you down to hell. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground? You which did weaken the nations, for you said in your heart. This is what was in his heart. You said in your heart, I will ascend into the heavens, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. And I will be like God. That's what was in his heart. God said, your pomp and your pride, your arrogant attitude has brought you down to hell. Let me be very clear this morning that God, if God would not allow Lucifer to get away with a prideful heart, he's not going to allow us to enter into his presence with pride in our lives either. Here's what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15 through verse number 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. And verse 16 is very clear. For all that is in the world and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world, and the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. So let's be very, very clear this morning, over and over and over again. God warns us against allowing pride to manifest in our life. And yet he specifically tells us in our text that in the latter days there are going to be some church folk, not folks who are non-believers, but some folks who are in the church. He tells us plainly in the last days that perilous times were going to come, and there would be those that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, and they would be heady and high-minded and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and they would have pride in their heart. They would have pride in their heart. And I know what you must be thinking this morning, Pastor Gary, that is not me. That is not me. I am not a conceited. I am not an arrogant. I am not a high-minded kind of person. I'm not filled with pride. I don't think more highly of myself than I should. I'm not full of myself. I don't have a pride issue. I may have a lot of issues, but I don't have pride. Hello? Can I just share with you this morning that pride can often show up in a very subtle kind of way? And we may not think that we have pride in our life. But let me just tell you something this morning. If you have some of the symptoms that we're going to talk about today, you might want to rethink whether you have an issue with pride in your life, because pride can be very subtle, and we can have the manifestation of pride in our lives and not even realize it. How so? Let me just share with you this morning some of the very subtle symptoms of pride. I want to introduce you. Hello, my name is Bride. I want to introduce you to some very subtle symptoms that accompany pride. If you are diagnosed with an illness, you are diagnosed with an illness because you have certain symptoms, right? If you have, in order for the doctor to make an accurate diagnosis, he will look at the symptoms. So understand this morning, while we may not think that we are filled with pride or have a prideful attitude or a prideful character or a prideful manifestation in our life, if we have some of the symptoms, we just may want to rethink that. So let me talk about a few symptoms this morning. Symptom number one. The first symptom of a prideful heart is prayerlessness. Prayerlessness. Prayerlessness is literally saying, I don't need you. I got this. I'm okay. Prayerlessness. Prayerlessness is a really revealing attitude that it says, Lord, I got this. I'm okay. Prayerlessness reveals the attitude of being self-sufficient and autonomous. Sufficient in my own self. Prayerlessness reveals the attitude of self-reliant and self-assuredness. Prayerlessness often reveals the attitude of independence and being sovereign. Well, you may not think that you have pride in your life, but let me just share with you this morning, if your prayer life is not what it needs to be, you just may want to rethink your position. Because when we are prayerless, we are literally saying, I got this. I am sufficient in my own self. I don't need your help. Hello? Well, let me just tell you this morning, we need to get our eyes off of self and get our eyes onto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and recognize that we need him every hour of the day. I submit to you this morning, when we are walking through life without seeking God for his will or without seeking God for his divine help, we are basically saying, I got this. And a prayerless man is a man that has pride in his life. Can I prove that with scripture? I am so glad you asked. Because some of you are looking at me like a calf at a new gate. Can I prove that prayerlessness means that we have pride? Yes, I can. Look at Psalms chapter 10, verse number 4. This is what it says. The wicked through pride. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. Now understand that it is the wicked through the pride of his countenance, through his haughty attitude, through his haughty, I got this, through his haughty, I'm self-sufficient, through his haughty sense of pride. I'm a self-made man. I do it my way. Let me just tell you something this morning. You do it your way and you will wind up going to hell, because the Bible said there is a way that seems right unto men, but the end of the way thereof are the wages of death. Amen. You gotta come by the cross and you gotta kneel at the foot of the cross and invite Christ into your heart. It is not through our ability, but it is through the free gift of God through Jesus Christ. The wicked through the pride of his counseling. The scripture is saying that a man who is filled with pride or has pride operating in his life will not seek after God. He will not pray. God is not in all of his thoughts, because he doesn't think that he needs God, and he doesn't think about God, and he is self-sufficient, and his pride gets in the way. Beloved, this morning, if we are lacking in our prayer life, do we think that we can make it on our own? Do you remember what Jesus told the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, pray that you enter not into temptation. Did they pray? No, they went to sleep. What did they do? They entered into temptation. When they came for Jesus, they all ran. Peter denied him 3 times. You hear what I'm saying this morning? A prayerless individual needs to check their heart for a spirit of pride. Do we think that we only need God for the big stuff? No, the Bible said, seek the Lord in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Every avenue of our life, here is the truth of the matter. We need to get our eyes on the Lord and realize that prayerlessness is a symptom of our pride. Now, if I asked you this morning, how many of you are filled with pride? No, that's not me. Well, how many of you, amen, have a little tendency to let down in your prayer life? Hello? Same thing. I knew this was going to go over good. Right? I even said, Lord, this is really rough. But you know, the Bible does say that you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. So I'm not the messenger. I'm just the messenger. I'm not the one that has the message. I'm just the messenger. I'm just delivering what he put in my heart. I'm just the paper boy. So love me. If you are prayerless, you got a pride problem. You're actually saying, I got this. How many of us really have it? None of us. We all need the help of the Lord. We all need God's help in our life. We need to look to Christ. We need to remember that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. And a sporadic or non-existent prayer life suggests that we are not actively relying upon God. Nor are we aware of our need for him in any area of our life. Don't fool yourself this morning. We may think that we do not have a pride problem in our heart, but if we are not actively praying and we are not actively seeking God for his will and for his provision and for his grace and for his mercy, then we have a problem with pride. Let's move on. The second symptom. Say, Brother Gary, is it going to get any lighter? Not really. I'm just going to give you a heads up. So the second symptom of pride is contentiousness. Contentiousness. What does contentiousness mean? It means argumentative. It means quarrelsome, combative, antagonistic. My daughter-in-law is pointing at my son. I don't. It means to be hot-blooded. Not the Foreigner song, but, you know, angry. It means to be hot, confrontational, contentious, argumentative, combative. Bless God, I'll fight at the drop of the hat, and I will throw the hat. I've been that guy. Hello? It means to be contentious. Listen what Proverbs says. Proverbs 13 and 10 said, only by pride. Only by pride comes contention. The only way that contention shows up is pride. That's what that's saying. Only by pride comes contention. He's saying that pride will allow contention to show up. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Amen. The God's Word translation of that verse, 13:10, Proverbs 13:10 said, arrogance produces quarreling, but those who take advice gain wisdom. He's saying that when we are contentious, when we are antagonistic, when we are hot-blooded, when we are combative, we are in danger of walking in pride. The writer is telling us that those who are filled with pride act as if what they say should never be challenged. Pride, proudful men and women demand that all others yield to their opinion. Have you ever come up against someone and they had a different opinion than you and they couldn't just, you know, agree to disagree and go on? No, they had to make you see it their way. Do you know why they are that way? Because of their pride. They have to make you see it like they see it. You know, our God is a God of variety. Can you say amen? Not all of us are going to see everything the same way. Not all of us are going to agree theologically 100%. Not all of us are going to, and the good news is we don't have to. We can love one another even if we disagree. Hello? But the proud individual has to make you see it their way. They hate to be contradicted. Proud people are contentious, and in order for them to be happy, things have got to go their way, and they have to be the one to get the last word. They're quick to quarrel and quick to be combative and spoiling for a confrontation. They argue their point and they will defend it like the Alamo, even when they are wrong. Even when they are met with kindness and compassion, they will defend their point of view, even when they are met with reasonable persuasion and indisputable evidence. Because, amen, for them to agree with you when they see that they are wrong would have to be that they would have to admit that they were wrong, and their pride will not allow them to do that. Someone with pride in their heart, you'll never hear them say, "I'm sorry." You'll never hear them say, "Forgive me." A proud person, because that would be an admission of wrong, and they can't do that. This morning, what I'm saying is that there are so many symptoms of pride that if we are not careful, we will think that we are not prideful. But if we will watch for the symptoms, we can diagnose the disease. Let me give you some quick hits, some quick symptoms of pride. How about weariness? How about weariness? Sometimes we have to be everything to everybody because we want the pat on the back. Hello? Weariness is often the result of trying to do more than God intends for us to do, or more than what God has called us to do. It means that we are not allowing Him to order our day or our footsteps. Weariness. How about anger or frustration? Anger or frustration can mean that I am not trusting God's sovereign plan and God's timing in my life, and that I am trying to take control from Him. And if we find ourselves often angry and frustrated, it could very well be because our pride wants to be in control. Hello? How about a critical spirit? What do you mean a critical spirit? How about if we have to talk about everybody and backbite and bring everybody down so we can elevate us? That's what a critical spirit does. It tries to lower everyone else so that you will appear higher. If you feel the need to belittle others in order to lift yourself up, you got a pride problem. How about a defensive reaction to criticism? Hello? How about a defensive despondency after failure? We attempt something and we fail and everybody smiles. That's okay. But we can't take it. It just eats at our heart because we failed. How about not being able to laugh at our own mistakes? Let me just tell you something this morning. Don't take yourself so serious. Right? We are not all of that in the bag of chips. Learn how to laugh at yourself. Learn how to laugh at your mistakes. Learn how to laugh, amen, when you fail. You know what failure means? It means you tried. It means you tried. If you ain't never failed, you ain't never done anything. I promise you, failure accompanies an effort. And sometimes you fail more than you want to, but you just keep right on pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and keep right on working and keep right on planning and keep right on trying. And pretty soon you'll find success. How about taking responsibility for success? Or taking sole credit for accomplishments? Financial prosperity if we are trying to take credit for our financial prosperity, it may mean that we have lost sight of God's gracious and undeserving provision. Impatience. When the Lord put this one in my mind, I went, "Oh, you're talking to me." Impatience, especially on Highway 16. Impatience, when we have to wait. I will tell on myself. I don't know if I should tell on myself, but you know, It is beyond me when you go to Costco and you purchase your items and you have them all in the cart and you're headed for the door. And then when you get to the door, you're waiting for 9 people in front of you. And then when you get there, they want to look through your buggy and mark down through it, and then they finally let you go. I will tell on myself. My wife and I were over at Costco here a while back. It was around Christmas time. The place was jammed. I waited patiently, No. What I can say is I didn't say anything, okay? So we finally get up there, and we didn't have that many things in the buggy, really. And the lady looks at the thing, and I'm like, so I just kind of started to push the cart on through the door, you know, and she's got the receipt. See you later. She goes, wait. I went, what, lady? I've already paid for it. Well, I have to look. And I said to her, well, please hurry up. We got outside. My wife looked at me in the car and she said, you know, it is a good thing you don't have a sign on your forehead that says, I'm a preacher. So, she said, next time we go to Costco, I will just take the buggy out. You can go on ahead, okay? I'm like, okay, we'll work out something. So we did go back to Costco. And I took a whole new approach. When we got there, the lady got the receipt. And she glanced in the buggy and marked through it. And I said, wait a minute. Come here. You didn't look in here. Get over here. What are you talking about? Look here. I got some stuff you didn't even check out on that list. She's like, it's fine. Go on, sir. Go on. We got out to the car, and I told my wife, it's a good thing I don't have a sign on my forehead that says I'm a preacher. I'm grounded from Costco and Winco, but that's another story. So if we are impatient, we might have a problem with pride. Hello? All of these things are just simply symptoms of a deeper problem. And the real thing that we need to ask is how do we find the cure? How do we escape? How do we escape the snare of pride? We must look unto Christ this morning. We must look to him. He gives grace to those that humble themselves and humbly and quickly see their deficiencies and confess them before him. Pride this morning is such a critical matter because when we overestimate our value, we underestimate the value of everyone else. Let me say that again. When we overestimate our value, we underestimate the value of everyone else. So how do we deal with it? Number one, we have to recognize it. We can't cover it up. We have to recognize it. That's the first step. Number two, we have to repent. We have to do something about it before God does something about it. We need to repent of it. Number three, we need to get ready for a fight. And we need to fight it every day. When we begin to talk about thinking highly of ourselves, I remember a quote from Tony Campolo. And I thought it fit great here. Tony said, if you start to feel overly proud of yourself, just remember that as soon as your body has been lowered into the grave, your friends and family will be eating potato salad and telling jokes, and you will be history. We are just a bleep on the screen of time. As we look ahead of us, yes, perilous days are ahead. Yes, perilous times are coming. Yes, perilous times are already here. But God has assured us that if we keep our eyes upon him, we can walk with a humble heart. D.L. Moody once said, God sends no one away empty except those who are filled with themselves. What does it mean to walk in humility? True humility this morning, and this is the best quote that I have ever read from C.S. Lewis. He said, true humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. True humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. We may not think that we have an issue with pride. But if we stop and think about it this morning, our lives may exhibit some of the symptoms that accompany the sin of pride. Bow your heads, please, all over the building, if you will. Bow your heads, please. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I have endeavored to deliver what you have laid upon my heart. I know, Lord, that it is a strong word, but it is a true word. I pray that you would help each one of us to apply it to our hearts, apply it to our spirits, apply it to our lives. And Lord, be on the lookout for the symptoms of pride in our life. I ask, Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you will take the words that I have endeavored to deliver and put it upon the hearts of these your people. If there are those this morning, Lord, that find themselves prayerless, find themselves being contentious, find themselves being impatient, find themselves with all of these weariness and all of these other symptoms that accompany pride, help us to turn to you this morning. Help us to turn to you this morning, the author and the finisher of our faith. Touch our hearts, challenge us here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Are you here this morning and you would just simply lift up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I needed to hear this message. I needed to hear, yeah, God bless you all over the building. I needed to hear this message. God has spoke to my heart as you ministered. I bless your name, Jesus. Hands lifted all over the building, I pray in the name of Jesus that God would deliver each one of us from the evil symptoms of our pride. Let us be clothed with humility, relying upon the grace and the mercy of God in every area of our life. In the mighty name of the Lord, I pray. Stand to your feet, please. They're going to come and lead us in worship here.